That's right, you've reached another episode of Necronomicast. This episode features John Dugan, who is Grandpa, on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so stay tuned for our interview with him, right here on Necronomicast.
Grave robbing in Texas is this hour's top news story. An informant led officers of the Muerto County Sheriff's Department to a cemetery just outside the small rural Texas community of Butte early this morning. Officers there discovered what appeared to be a grisly work of art, the remains of a badly decomposed body wired to a large monument. A second body was found in a ditch near the perimeter of the cemetery. Subsequent investigation has revealed it.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Necronomicast. I am Dr. Death.
And this is Reverend Pod Father. Thanks for joining us.
We have an exciting guest on our show today. For all you old horror fans, we have...
Maybe you could be old. Yeah, who knows?
We have John Dugan, who played Grandpa from the original 1974 version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, he's been doing the conventions. Yep. He's been doing that for a few years, I think, and he's doing a few this year.
Since the OJ chase on the highway.
Yeah, you'll have to hear that.
He's also revising his role in the 2012 version of Chainsaw 3D.
That's right.
And he will be playing Grandfather again.
Yeah, so you'll be able to hear a little bit about that. Not a ton. Of course, you can't say a whole lot about that. But he's got some other stuff in the works as well. We talked to him about how he got that role, what happened during it, and whatnot. So sounds like a pretty interesting tale for everybody that was on that particular set.
Yes. So.
So otherwise, what else we got going on with Necronomicast stuff? We got Creature Feature. You've been doing that a lot, right?
Yeah, working on that and getting that going. We're getting ready to go back on TV.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. And
are you breaking that news now, or what's happening?
I guess so. We're still working out all the details and everything, but we filmed last week for the TV Creature Feature.
Yeah.
We're still doing Creature Feature Live, crack it out every month. This month we're doing, we're playing Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we're doing a live phone interview with Judith Adams.
Oh, right on.
She was the main lady in Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
So we got that going on, and I got some film projects in the work that I'm working on. And
that's right, yeah. Just keep up on our Facebook fan page. You've been posting some stuff on there. I can see that.
Keep everybody informed.
That's happening.
talked to the guys, and they are going to come on the show and talk a little bit about the movie. So.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to get them in here.
And we got a lot of good interviews coming up this year, so you guys will just have to stay tuned, and we'll...
They get better. But first off, here's our phone interview we just got done having with John Dugan. Again, he was Grandfather on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre circa 1974.
Yep.
Right here on Necronomicast.
All right. We have a very special guest today. This is John Dugan. He played Grandpa from the 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hello.
Hello. So one thing we were kind of trying to figure this out, too. When you did this role, they've got you in some pretty decent makeup there. Had you done any type of horror films before this particular role?
No. As a matter of fact, when I got the call to do this, I was doing a children's play in Chicago at the Goodman Theater.
Really?
Called The Turntable Tales, yeah. With dancing around in pipes, entertaining children, six days a week, two shows a day.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, I went from dancing around entertaining kids in party colored tights to about a month later hitting a girl over the head with a sledgehammer on camera. It was a very, very odd summer. It was a wonderful summer. That was my first two paid acting jobs, actually. First in the children's theater and then doing a horror film that turned into a cult classic.
Really?
So, yeah.
So,
it's an interesting summer.
How was it working on the set there? How long were you actually on set doing that?
Well, I was on the set a lot because I worked, I had to be down there. It took them several weeks after I arrived to get my makeup together to design it, prepare it, and all of that. So I worked as a production assistant, drove a truck, hauled props, ran errands, helped to kind of grip work anywhere that I could help, you know. Just picking up something and carrying it over there, that sort of thing.
Now,
I was there quite a bit over probably a 4 or 5 week period that I was there.
Right. Now, I've talked to Gunner before, and he said that, you know, his experience on that set was horrible. He said it was humid. He said the bugs were bad. Did you have the same experience?
It was physically very, very demanding because of the heat, for one thing, and the fact that I was in makeup, very, by today's standards, pretty primitive.
Right.
It was, I guess, almost state of the art at the time, but it was uncomfortable. And then Gunner as well had to wear that mask all the time. He could take his off. Mine was makeup. You know, it was liquid latex. It was like having a permanent mask fixed to your face. It was.
Yeah, that's what we were kind of wondering.
Was awful.
If it was like a full overhead piece, and you had hands.
Yeah, I had hands.
Hands on there too.
Full. Yeah. Now, I've just reprised the role after 38 years in Chainsaw 3D.
Right.
And makeup has come a long, long, long ways.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
So what they have me in this film is silicone, which is wonderful. It's like a second skin almost. It's very, very thin and supple. You have a lot of movement. It just moves with your face beautifully.
It's got to be cooler.
And also,
a lot cooler.
Well, not necessarily cool. I guess it was cooler. But also, they sprayed me down with something that inhibits perspiration, which helped a lot because the perspiring underneath that stuff is very, very, very uncomfortable. And so they used something to keep me, to at least to deter the perspiration. My head and face, which helps tremendously. But it was we shot in Shreveport, Louisiana, in July and August, and it was the hottest July, I believe, on record in Shreveport. My second day on set in Shreveport, it was 103 degrees at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
So, like, what is with you people? Can't you shoot in December or something? Because 38 years later, we're going through the same freaking thing. You know?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought at least you'd get a break there and not have to shoot.
Well,
in,
at least
in heat.
This time there was a budget. And I had an air conditioned trailer. I could hide.
Ah, sure, yeah, that makes life a little easier. A little bit easier.
Now, how old were you when you shot that the 74 version?
I was 20.
Wow.
It was the summer of 73. Yeah, I was 20. I was 20 years old.
And so, you were doing all sorts of different stuff on the set there. Did this at 20. So what got them to actually cast you, a 20-year-old, as this, just because they were able to be able to make the makeup and whatnot, and they needed somebody that can bear all the heat?
Well, I had a national reputation as being a fine young actor, I think, is what it was.
That was it, yeah.
I was a household name, Dad, you know. Have you heard about this guy, John Dugan, doing that children's play in Chicago? He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Just what we want for our movie.
No, you really want the truth. You really want the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Kim Henkel, my sister was married to Kim Henkel.
Oh, okay.
Who wrote, the screenplay. And produced the film. So I had an in, you know, it was nepotism.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, why not?
Totally.
And then you played in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Next Generation as well, right?
Was that the name of it? I thought it was like Leatherface meets Abbott and Costello or something.
Yeah, with Matthew McConaughey.
It was the fourth one, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was called Return. Revenge.
Now, were you?
I think it was the fourth one. It was the one. It was Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger's first film.
Yep.
And I have a marvelous, really critically acclaimed about 90 second scene with Renee Zellweger in the end of it. It's just Yeah. All the trays went wild. There's that John Dugan again.
Oh, yeah, see?
Remember him from that children's play in Chicago in 1973?
Were you involved, other than the new one that's coming out, were you involved in any of the other ones?
No.
Okay.
It was not my choice to not be involved. But.
Yeah. It's probably because there's a lot of different people that are even doing those because they're all kind of knockoffs and you don't really have...
Frankly, my role, because of all the makeup they could use, they could have got anybody off the street to do it, probably. Not as well, but...
Of course not.
They really didn't need mine. because, of course, none of those people have been an award-winning children's theater actor in Chicago in 1973. But, that has something to do with it. They didn't really need my face, my voice, because I didn't say anything.
Right.
So,
how did it come about that you reprised the role in this particular version?
They wanted to, Carl Mazzacone, who was the producer of Chainsaw 3D, came from the Saw franchise. He was the producer on the Saw movies. He was nice enough to want some of the original people. He's a huge fan of the first film.
Yeah.
And he wanted to use whoever he could from the first film somehow. And so I met Gunnar Hansen, who was Leatherface in the original. He's in it. Marilyn Burns, who was the only one of the kids to survive in the first one, is in it. Bill Moseley, who played Chop Top in Chainsaw 2, which is the only other one I've seen from beginning to end, as a matter of fact, took over the late Jim Seedow's role as Drayton Sawyer. Mm-hmm. And so there we have at least four alumnus in the new one.
Nice.
You're able to keep your original role.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, reprising this role 38 years later.
Yeah,
I happen to have, according to people that I know who are freaks about this kind of thing, I've broken the record. I've broken the record for reprising a role after the longest period of time.
Yeah,
I beat out Derek Llewellyn, who played Q, maybe in the 007 movies, the old guy that had all the gadgets.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Don't touch that. Put that down, 007, please. You know, that guy. So he had held the record up until this year. Apparently, I have captured that. And unless he comes back from the grave, or I don't know, Michael Douglas decides to do another Wall Street movie in 10 years. But, you know.
Oh, then he'll look like Grandpa, actually. At least they didn't go, we don't have to do much makeup on you at least now. It's like, what?
It's that John Dugan guy from Chicago again.
Yeah. Have you heard him? He's a wonderful children's theater actor from 1973.
So what's your experience with like these conventions? Because you had mentioned earlier that you had been at a convention this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I just came back for a con. I did a convention. It was the first year that these people had put this on. In London, Kentucky, which is somewhere between Lexington, Kentucky, and Knoxville, Tennessee.
Wow.
And believe it or not, for a small town in the middle of nowhere, it was a rocking good time. It was a very good time. And, you know, you get to see old friends after you've been on the road for a while.
Right.
Not everybody does every convention, but you're always going to run into somebody that you've done a convention with. And there's a little bit of a reunion factor to everyone. You know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And there's always new fans that you haven't met. And interesting young artists and filmmakers that do these things. I like doing it a lot. It kind of keeps me in touch with what's going on in the industry. You know, I'm an actor. I'm not a horror movie aficionado by any means. I like horror films, but I also like romantic comedies and thrillers and action films and stuff like that. I enjoy talking to all the young artists and filmmakers, and the fans, of course, are always just wonderful. It's great to feel like you are somebody. To have that? Someone's hands trembling just to be close to you, you know. It's like, kind of a power trip, really.
To be a rock star for a day.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great.
When was the first convention? What was the first convention you did?
The first convention I did was, many years ago. It was in Pasadena, California. I remember coming back from the first day of the con, going to the hotel and going into the bar, which as soon as you went home and, you know, dropped your stuff off in the room, you always hit the bar.
Yeah.
And it was the day of the slow speed chase.
Ah.
With O.J. Simpson. Wow, right on.
And we were all sitting around the TV in the cocktail lounge going, what the hell's going on? It was helicopter footage. They're chasing O.J. Simpson at 15 miles an hour.
That was the first day of your first concert, or your first convention.
That was my first con, yeah. Right. And I did, in a period of 2 years, I did probably three or four, and then I dropped out for a long time. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, somebody called me. And I hadn't really thought about doing it. I kind of dropped out for a while. I went through a period of not really wanting to talk about Chainsaw. And I was pissed off and surly about the whole thing, you know, because it had made lots and lots of money. And I was just pissed off, I guess. And bottom line, I could analyze it forever, but I was just essentially just pissed. But strangely enough, Louisville, where I live, there was somebody doing a show here, which I knew nothing about, but my next door neighbor read about it in the Louisville Courier Journal, and there was a number to call for information, and she called that number, and she said, do you know that John Dugan from Texas Chainsaw Massacre lives right here? He lives next door to me.
Yeah.
And this guy calls me out of the blue. Hey! And that kind of got me involved again. And Gunnar Hobson, Leatherface, happened to be at that show, and then I just got involved and started booking more and more shows. And so I do. I went through a period where I did a whole lot. I did like 40 shows in 2.5 years or something. I mean, I hit the circuit really, really hard.
Right. Wow.
And then I dropped off again for a while. Now this year I'm probably going to do 5 or 6, I think.
Well, it's definitely a way to at least get some money out of the movie if they.
Oh, you know, since they're making all the money. I can make more money in one day signing autographs than I made doing the entire film that takes a chance.
Exactly.
You know? So all the thing about not making any money on it has kind of gone by the wayside. Yeah. Over the years I've made pretty good money off the chainsaw simply by saying hello to somebody and signing my name to a photograph, you know.
Yeah.
Spending time talking to people. And luckily the studios have laid off of us and
have you?
I don't want to bring trouble down on myself by even mentioning it.
So do you have any other than the new Leatherface 3D, do you have any other projects that you're working on?
Oh, well, I have two in the bag for last year. I got 3D in the bag, in the can, I guess they say in the business. Two in post-production, Chainsaw 3D in a film called The Bone Boys, which was written by Kim Henkel, who wrote the Chainsaw Mask.
Right, right.
And we filmed that in Austin, Texas last year, and it should be released shortly. Like maybe any day now. I don't know.
It could be. It's coming
up. If you look it up on the internet movie database, it says 2012 release. So it could be tomorrow. It could be after Christmas. So I don't know. But that's a nice little independent film that Kim wrote and produced, and there's a young directing team that directed it, and we shot in Austin, Texas. And it's a Kim Henkel product. It's kind of like about young urban cannibals.
Oh.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. We love young urban cannibals.
Yeah. Is there a band called Young Urban Cannibals?
Yeah, there should be. The Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah, it was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. We came up with the name. I was out to dinner last night with some horror movie actors. I was out with Jim O'Rear. Anybody who's a hardcore fan would know who Jim O'Rear is. Because he's a total whore. He'll do anything. And Daniel Emery Taylor, who's a hoot. He played the little redheaded boy in Swamp Thing.
Oh, right.
And he is now a redheaded adult. Anyway, yeah. Had dinner with them last night after the show, and Daniel's wife had run over a road cone somewhere back in Alabama and drug it all the way to fucking Kentucky underneath their car.
Oh, no.
And we decided the Alabama Road Cones would be a great name for a band.
Yeah, exactly.
I just love that. You know, opening for the Beatles, you know, yeah. The Alabama Road Cones, straight from Birmingham, Alabama.
All the way. They drove straight here. Somebody threw them under the bus. Oh, actually, it's funny because they have. We were going to interview somebody from what's his name from Nightmare,
Mark Patton.
Mark Patton, uh-huh. Who is also in a band with the other
Adrian King.
Yeah, with Adrian King from Friday. Was it Adrian King? No,
no,
it wasn't. No, the other girl from Nightmare on Elm Street.
And oh, they, yeah,
the Heather Scream Lander, Queens.
Heather yeah. Landerkamp.
Yeah, and they're called the Scream Queens. So it's funny because they they're all like horror veterans, or they've been in one or two different horror films, and they actually are playing music in a band now too.
Yeah, well, Ari Lehman, who was the first Jason from from Friday the 13th, has a band called First Jason.
First Jason, yeah.
Oh, that's right. See, yeah. There you go. See, so it makes perfect sense on this band.
He played this weekend. He's got a. He has this like portable keyboard that he wears around his neck. That's
really,
yeah. I've seen pictures of it.
It's mounted on a huge, oversized machete. You know.
Oh my God! Really? He didn't even use a machete in the movie. What the hell?
No, but he's on his some of his stage sets. Doesn't he have like great big huge old hockey mask up on a stage?
I hate to admit this, but I'm almost 60 years old. When that kind of music starts, I leave.
Those damn kids and the rock and roll music.
Unless it's Bob Dylan or something.
Get off my yard, or I'll.
No, I know. I'm not putting down rock and roll music, but I'll just stop right there.
Yeah. All right.
We really appreciate you being on the show, John.
Yeah. Are you going to be at any conventions coming up here? This coming up in the next couple of months in the summer?
Hopefully a lot of them. I'm having a hard time locking anything down. I have a lot of things cooking, but...
You know what? If you ever have anything...
I'll be in Columbus, Indiana, March 18th and 19th. It's a paranormal show, actually, but there's a few horror movie celebs that are going to be there.
Oh, cool. All right.
And then I guess something later in the summer, but I can't remember what it is. Isn't that awful?
Oh, no. You know, it's a schedule, man. It's busy. But we'll definitely be looking forward to the
speaking
the
of a bad memory, who are you guys now?
Yeah.
Remember, Jim? You remember you gave me crap about being from Nebraska. You forget?
Oh, you're a goat roper.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh? I told Wade, I was like, and I said, yeah, and yeah, you're from Kentucky, so.
Yeah, my goat roping friend. Okay, I remember.
Yeah, so we have something in common.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's been a ball talking to you guys. And if
yeah, we'll
talk in the future,
especially. Yeah, definitely, yeah. And if we got anything coming this way, we'd love to have you on Necronomicast again. And looking forward to the, I guess it'd be. Yeah, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 3D. So, check that out.
That will be that is to be released in October of 2012, Halloween time release, like all.
And then the Bone Boys in the can.
Horror movie.
Yeah.
The Bone Boys, sometime this year.
Yes. Coming. It's a mystery, actually. So.
So.
All right, cool.
All right. So.
Well, cool, man. Totally appreciate you doing this. We're going to look forward to the movies, and we hope you... you know, maybe one day get back into the children's theater and, Okay. Say hi to Renee Zellweger when you see her for us.
Oh, yeah, we're like this. I just talked to her a few minutes right before you called.
Friended her on Facebook, I'm sure. So, yeah. No, but thanks a lot for doing this show. And we'll send you a link to it when we get it out.
Okay, thank you. Hang loose, man.
Thanks, right. Sean.
Bye. Take care, John.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Tim Welch and Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.com.